Thank you very much. You can be seated. Can somebody give me an amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you. That might be the only amen you're going to fit in tonight. If you listen to me preach before, I kind of preach a little fast. I don't know if it's just me or the espresso. So while I get set up tonight, why don't you look at your neighbor and just look him right in the eyes and tell him, you got this. Say it again. Just look them and mean it. Say, you got this. Just takes a minute to get set up. So I just want to thank you for coming out. Thank you for supporting me. And thank you for being here. And I'm extremely honored to be standing in this position. As Ryan said, 15 years ago, I sat over there in that general area. And everything he said was the truth. But there was more fleas on me than he said. He just didn't want to tell you how many fleas I had. But you're right. I was a broken boy looking for an answer. And the pastor preached a message about being saved. He preached a message about starting over. He preached a message about being cleaned and renewed. And that's what I was looking for in my life at the time. And I accepted Jesus Christ. I haven't looked back. And he continues to change me. Can you say an amen? Amy Vineyard, happy birthday. Happy birthday. And Vineyard family, you guys are champions. And we love you. And we're glad you're in this house. And we honor you tonight. Amy, I got a chance to listen to your message online. And it was awesome. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here last Thursday, listen to the message, and then you can just, it'll roll right into Pastor's message, because they just keep on rolling. So, the Brills, how you doing? You have no idea what they imparted in my life 15 years ago. We were upstairs in one of the rooms, and I needed to be there. And sometimes it was just me, and they showed up every single Sunday, and they just kept on pouring into my life. So I thank you, and I honor you tonight. So thank you for being here very much. How did my wife do tonight? Did she do all right? Did she do all right? Honey, thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for the journey that I'm on, that just being there to support me. And I hope my sister listens. Thank you. And I hope my sister listens to this podcast online, because it's her birthday tonight. So Tara Trzyski, happy birthday. If you got your Bibles or your apps or your device, whatever you have, I encourage you to grab your Bible. One of the Klisch family said, I've been making a point to have my Bible. Who was that? She makes a point to have her Bible. I overheard her talking about it. She was right there. So I encourage you to have your Bible. I know the apps, I know the devices are good, but have your Bible. The main scriptures I'm going to be in tonight, if you want to tab them, is Exodus 33 and 2 Corinthians 8. And I'll be in 2 Corinthians 8:8. And I want to pray. Father God, I come to you in Jesus' mighty name. And God, you know I would not be standing here without your power and without your Son, Jesus Christ. So I ask that your power pours down on me tonight and lets me share your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you can, if you're in Exodus now, it's Exodus 33:11. And I'll just give you a moment to be there. Can that somebody give me an amen? Thank you, Jesus. That's three of them. Thank you, Andy. If you're there, Exodus 33:11 through 14 in the New Living Translation, it says, inside the tent of meetings, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Afterwards, Moses would return to the camp, but a young man would who would assist him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meetings. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I'm looking favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your way so I can understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." And the Lord replied, "I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest, and everything will be fine with you." Can you say amen? Moses needed an answer from God. He was looking for God's encouragement and guidance. God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. God reminded Moses, "He is with you. He is with Moses, and he will be by your side," encouraging Moses that everything will work out. We have a Father who encourages. God is our great encourager. Life is full of haters, discouragers, doubters, deceivers, manipulators, negativity, and self-doubt. The Scripture reminds me we have a God who encourages. As God spoke to Moses, He speaks to me, He speaks to you. "I am with you. Everything will be fine." You know, when you're watching a movie or an event and an ordinary person does something just miraculous, they do something great, or a nobody becomes a somebody because he stays consistent and he keeps on working and he becomes somebody, and somebody triumphs against all odds, we're encouraged. You want to know why? Because we can relate to them. We can understand their circumstances. It ignites a fire within. You feel motivation. You become encouraged. You see the battle within your own life and say, everyone say it with me, "I got this." Can you put that up? Who knows who that is? It's everybody knows who Rudy is. And I thought about my pastor when this came upon my spirit. Because he speaks of Rudy. But Rudy was the underdog. He was the throwaway. He was the run of the litter. He was the guy who had to try so hard. But one day he got a shot. And what he did with that shot is he encouraged us all to keep on keeping on. If you could put that next one up, Paulie. Who loves the movie Gladiator? Who remembers the movie Gladiator? I would watch that movie over and over and over again. He was a great military general, but he was stripped of his honor. His family was killed. His home was destroyed and his land was destroyed. He was taken from high position and he was put into slavery. But he battled his way back to the people that took it all from him to triumph over an evil emperor and win the respect of people. He encouraged us to keep on fighting. And if you could put that last one up. Who remembers this? This was probably in the past, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. This is somebody from AMG, America's Got Talent. AG, either way. Her name is Sophia Pecora. I don't watch much television. I thought it was live. It was actually a rerun. But it was within the past 2 weeks. She writes and sings songs about how people mistreat her. Her original song about social media and bullying includes these lyrics: "Misfits have some powers that are really pretty rad." She uses music to overcome her pain and hurt. In that moment, America was encouraged. She encouraged us to work through our pain. Simon Cowell was so encouraged in that moment. He spoke over her as a father and he said, "I say this as a father. Bullying is always going to happen. But if you don't care or even think about them, it means you win. If you continue to talk about them, they win. Cowell says, and I don't want you to talk about these people anymore, even again, because they're not worth talking about. Even Brad Paisley was encouraged to hit the golden buzzer. He was encouraged, and he wanted to show America how moved he was. These moments inspire us. They touch our emotions and encourage us. In some way, we see ourselves. We relate to the struggles and the battles. We understand. We question. We second guess our own unique abilities and talents. Every human being on planet Earth needs encouragement. John Maxwell's father, Melvin, says, if people have air in their lungs, they need encouragement. Who has air in their lungs? I have a lot of air in my lungs. I need encouragement. Encouragement is fuel for the soul. And that's the title of my message, is encouragement is fuel for the soul. If you can turn to 2 Corinthians 8:8 while I take a sip of water. And somebody give me an amen. Thank you, Jesus. Second Corinthians 8:8-12. I read this scripture in Bible study like probably 4 months ago. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, as Pastor Bishop talked about it. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do years ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so also may be a completion out of what you have. So if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. What was Paul doing in this letter? What was he doing? He was writing a letter of encouragement. He was testing the Corinthians' heart. He was reminding them of the great responsibility he had over the church of Macedonia. He was using the power of encouragement to motivate the Corinthians. Many obstacles were coming against the Corinthians. False teachers were undermining the truth and the teachings of God and Paul. This was creating doubt, selfishness, lies, division, discouragement, negativity, and deceivers. The Corinthian church needed encouragement. Paul was reminding them of the love they received from Jesus, reminding them of how Jesus went low so they could go high, reminding them to think and reflect on the sincerity to love others, the eagerness to help, the willing mind, the inspiration to act, the readiness and excitement to help others, reminding them to finish what they started. Have you ever been just in the grind? Anybody just been in the grind? Let's be honest. Sometimes it's a grind. Not a bad grind if you're in the grind, but sometimes the grind is tough. And you feel like you're on an island. Your mind starts to create this loneliness. Now listen to this. This I am all alone. The island of mentality. Feeling sorry for yourself. The mind can play tricks on you. But then you read something. Somebody reaches out to you through a text message, through an email, through just a phone call. It's just what you needed at the right time. It was a delivery of verbal fuel. A few weeks ago, I was sitting at my desk on a Monday morning, which sometimes are hard on me, feeling the pressures of being a husband, being a father, being a friend, trying to be an entrepreneur. And I get a text. And it says, God loves you, son. You are blessed and highly favored. God has great things in store for you. You have a great wife and a great family. It was just what I needed. Just at the right time. It was a special delivery, a package, a verbal fuel, a recharge, a jump start, a surge of encouragement. Romans 12:8 says, if you have the gift to encourage others, be encouraging. This is what Paul was doing with the Corinthian church. If we look at verse 8, in verse 8, can I get an amen? Okay, thank you. Verse 8, I am not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it to the eagerness of other churches. You know what he was doing here? He was keeping them accountable to their standard of living, the standards they are setting for other churches, the standards we are setting, reminding them of the example they are to others, reminding them that they are influencers. If you back up to verse 5, they even did more than they had hoped. For the first action was to give themselves, the Macedonians gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to the Corinthian church to influence them. In verse 9, you know the gracious grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you could become rich. He was asking them, encouraging them to reflect on what Christ had done for them. Verse 10, he was encouraging them to be consistent. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give. And you were the first to begin doing. He was encouraging them to be consistent. And the last one, integrity. Look at verse 11. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving, given the proportion to what you have. He says finish. He says complete what you started. He says, do what you said you were going to do. The other day I was at the gym and I was warming up and I was having a conversation with somebody. And he said to me, you have no idea what it took for me to be here. You have no idea. You have no idea what I had to say to myself to be here today. And he started to share these things with me that he was saying to myself. And at first I said, wow, you really had to say that to yourself to get here? But then I said, you want to know what? I can relate to that. Maybe not at the gym, but sometimes that self-talk, I have to talk to myself like that. I have to encourage myself in other ways in my life. We need to be encouraged. We need encouragers in our life. And we need to encourage others. Paul encouraged. Can I get an amen? Paul was a great encourager. Even though he had men in trials, he was outcasted, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was in prison, he still encouraged others. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Christ was an encourager. Paul was encouraged by the example of Christ. Christ set that before Paul. Christ is our great encourager. Jesus encouraged. He encouraged the sick to be healed. Mark 5:34 says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Suffer is over. The crippled to walk. He encouraged them to walk. In John 5:8, Jesus said, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. Jesus encouraged the blind to see. In Matthew 10:55, Jesus says, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see. And he says, "Follow me down the road." Jesus encouraged the dead to rise. In John 11:43-45, he said, "Lazarus, come out." And a dead man came out. That's right, amen. I was a dead man right over there. Can you say amen? He told me to come out. He said, "Accept me." He encouraged the broken to be whole. Matthew 8:2-5, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before the Lord. "Lord," the man said, "if you are willing, can you make me clean?" Jesus reached out, "I am willing, be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. And Jesus encouraged the sinner to be saved. John 14:6 says, Jesus told them, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. Follow me. That's the only way to the Father." And he also said in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people one more time and said, "I am the way and the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Jesus is our example to follow. He gave everything. As he entered into his final days before his death, he knew he was about to face the greatest trial of his life: betrayal, deserted by his friends, tried and found guilty, tortured and crucified. With the darkest hours of Jesus' life approaching, he called out to God for encouragement. And I'm going to read this, Luke 22:41-45. I'm going to cut it a little short, but he says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Amen. Then an angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him, encouraging him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and the sweat on his brow became blood and dripped on the ground. And he rose up. He went to his disciples. He encouraged them to wake up and pray. Even as the sweat dripped on the ground, Jesus encouraged the disciples to rise and pray. As Paul wrote to the Corinthian church years ago, I encourage you and remind you today, be accountable to your lifestyle. What standards are you setting for others? Remember, you're an example to others. You have influence on others. Reflect on what Christ has done for you. Be consistent. Continue what you started. Keep your integrity strong. Finish and complete. And as I close, whether you're in the greatest time of your life or you're in a battle, I come to you today to speak encouragement. God's not finished with you. I'm going to preach for a minute. Bodie, he's not finished with you. He started with you. Pastors, you got this. You can do this. Kelly, moms, dads, fathers, wives, youth, he's not finished. He's got you. He's with you. You can do this. I know it's a grind. I get it's a grind. I wake up every day and put my 2 feet on the ground. I understand it's a grind. I have battles within myself, but I come to you and I encourage you. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with you. He's going to start a great work in you. He's a God of completion. The Bible says He has plans for you. You are blessed and highly favored. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. You are God's chosen people. You are more than enough. You've been grafted into the vine of life. Paul was encouraged by Christ. The Corinthians were encouraged by Paul because of Christ. To encourage the Macedonians, as Jesus was strengthened by God in the final hour, as God spoke to Moses face to face, God is saying to you right now, I am with you. And everything will be fine. And I just want to speak this over your life. You got this. You got this. You got this. You got this. And you got this. Can I get an amen? And I'm going to close in prayer. So Father God, I come to you in Jesus' mighty name. The person like Rudy. The gladiator that had everything stripped away. The person that is working through their pain. I pray over their lives right now in Jesus' name. That as they lay down, as they rise up, you are with them. They can speak to you face to face. And Lord God, speak to them. Let them know they got this. And you're with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big praise tonight. Yeah, go ahead and shut your mic off. What a wonderful time to be in God's house tonight, right? Brad and Kelly, go to stand out in front there and pray. I'm honored to have Pastor Chris, Bishop Moffitt come tonight, all the way from Kenya. Someday I'm going to come and visit you there, okay? But I don't want any injera when I come, okay? No injera. No, okay, good. Bradley, I'm proud of you. Robin and Lenny, what a testimony. 15 years ago, never stop, because you might see one or 21. It does not matter, because the one will have influence. Oh, we got to keep doing it. You got this. Come on, look at your neighbor. Just say, you got it. Just say, come on, you got this. You got this. I'm going to pray and close in prayer tonight. Just close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit tonight in this house. From the moment we walked in to right now, to the moment we walk out, Lord, your influence has impacted our lives. And we thank you for that, God. Tonight, I pray that some that came, they're wondering if they can continue, wonder if they can go on, wondering where you are in the midst of life. Lord, the word that you deposited in them tonight, help them, usher them to the next season of their lives. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray blessing over Brad and Kelly and their family. I thank you, God, for the day that Brad gave his life to you, and the half, Lord, that you're going to do with him has not even been revealed yet. Pray, Lord, for each one that is here tonight. May your peace and love and life rest upon them in a mighty way in Jesus' name. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. If you want Brad and Kelly to pray for you, come on down tonight. Let them pray over you. I love you. Go in his grace tonight. He's going to do something great for each one of us. I love you.